Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Essence of the Upanishads. The title is Sutras, presented by Swami Jyotir Mayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
Om Bhadram Karane Bhishnu Yama Deva Bhadram Pashye Makshabhirya Jatra Sirai Rangai Sushtu Agam Sastanu Bihavyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashrava Swastina Pusha Vishwaveda Swastina Starkshu Arishtanemi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. The peace chant that we have explained before is Prashnopanishad. Six questions are being answered by the Guru, Sage Pippalada. And we are in the first question. We are coming to the end of it. The first question involved, how are the beings born? The very purpose of birth. And we have led you to understand there are two paths that the soul follows, the path of darkness and the path of light. That path of darkness is described as rayi, matter. Path of light is mystically described as the sun. And I have gone into the details of two paths. The path known as Uttarayana, the northern path. The path known as Archimarga, the path of light. Or Devayan, the path of gods. That's the path that leads you to Krama Mukti, gradual liberation. But the entire process of the path can be accomplished during your lifetime. Then you attain Sadhyah Mukti. Sadhyah Mukti means liberation within lifetime. That is the ideal. But the path that leads you to the moon, it is a path that gives you great joy, offers great enjoyments, but it is a path that will lead you to entry into the world process, the path of return. And both all these points we have explained before. In the 13th mantra, the month is indeed Prajapati. Prajapati means the Lord of all souls, referring to Brahman, the Absolute Self. Just as during the year, you can divide the year 6 months of the northern, 6 months of the southern process. The northern is positive, going towards light, increasing expansion. Southern is negative. You are moving away from direct light, but going into reflected light. This subtle distinction must enter the mind of an aspirant. Both paths are possible only if you are doing good things. If you do negative things, there is a third path. Upanishad doesn't want to mention it. The path of Yatana Marg, path of punishment, path of pain, hell. Just like year can be viewed in two sections, you must realize that nothing to do with year or month. These are all symbolic descriptions. Month is also divided into two. The black half of the month is Rai, referring to path of matter. And the bright half is Prana. Here Prana becomes a symbol of Brahman. Prana is a vital force in every human being. Just as you can worship matter as Brahman, in the process of ascending the ladder leading to highest level. First level is to have insight into matter. Remember Bhriguruvai Varuni, that when Bhrigu approached his father Varuni, father is also guru, wanted to know about Brahman, and the father said, Tapo Brahmeti. First he described Brahman. Brahman is the source. Brahman is that from whom the world has emanated, by whom the world is sustained, into whom the world dissolves. And then, when he looked at the disciple, he kept his face blank. He said, Tapo Brahmeti. Go and practice tapa. Tapa is a broad term. Involving your mind towards the understanding of the highest truth. Any form of concentration becomes a form of tapas, austerity. But the highest is when a mind is engrossed in realizing, who am I? What's the nature of the self? So, when he comes back, he says, it took him a year. There again, Upanishads describe time in a symbolic way. He might have come back next day. Even the Puranas describe time in a symbolic way. People get confused. Each story starts. Say for another story starts, Parvati Devi started practicing austerity for being wedded to Shiva. How long did she did? Thousands of years. And then she comes back, she's young, and gives people a lot of confusion. Years are referring to intensity. So, in the story of Bhrigu, first he comes back and says, I have come to conclusion. Annam Brahmeti Vijana. From matter, everything evolves. But the first step, the entire universe, can be studied in the terms of matter. It agrees with general view of science. Anything else that comes in this material world, for example, your brain, nervous system, and a mind emerges. For a materialist, mind is a secretion of brain. For a Vedantin, the entire nervous system is a projection of the mind. But this is the first step. At least he could look at the entire universe and come to a certain one conclusion. The entire universe is sustained by matter. And into matter all dissolves. But this does not give insight into the workings of the mind, intellect, ego. So the guru says to him, he hears and he says, Tapo Brahmeti. Austerity is Brahma. That means the disciple knew that he has not reached the real conclusion. So again he goes to practice. Again after a year he comes back and he says, I know Brahman now. Guru said, tell me. Prano Brahmeti Vijana. I know Prana is Brahman. Prana is the vital force, vitality behind the whole universe. And Guru still says, Tapo Brahmeti. Practice more austerity. So he comes back with the mind is Brahman. Then he comes back, intellect, Vijnana is Brahman. And he comes back even beyond intellect, Ananda is Brahman. Then the Guru doesn't say, go tapo Brahmeti. So there are stages. We're lifting your insight from one stage to the higher. This Upanishad directs your attention towards prana, the vitality that sustains your body. It's the same vitality that sustains the entire universe. It's a subtle principle even behind the sun. The idea is you are being led by adopting the symbol of prana and the sun. You are being led to Brahman, where all symbols are transcended. It's a process of upasana, allowing your mind to turn to Brahman with a devout meditative process. So it says, the month indeed is Prajapati. The black half relates to the Rai type, the passive type. That's what, if this path is followed, the soul reaches Pitriloka or Chandraloka, moon, and from there the soul returns. But if you go by the bright half, the sages perform their Ishta Karmas during the bright half, desirous of liberation, while others perform karmas during the dark half for seeking heavenly enjoyment, showing that people have two types of mental focus. Those who are focused on attaining liberation, they are following the path of nivritti. Those who are focused on pravritti, somehow their intellect has not been clear about what goal should be. So, from a general point of view, there is a two great division. People following the path of nivritti, they are very few. And people following the path of pravritti, they are many. But then again, they are not majority. Majority of people don't want to follow any path. Teshame vaisha brahmaloko yesham tapo brahmacharya yeshu satyam pratishtam. Whoever observes the sacred rule of Prajapati, that certain things we have pointed out before, is the path of Shreya, the path where which allows you to move away from what seems pleasant. Shreya and Preya, these terms have been described in Kathopanishad. You have always before you a choice, the choice of choosing. That process that where you do not submit yourself to the senses. You allow the senses to be ruled by the mind. You allow the mind to be ruled by the intellect. This process is Shreya, blessed process. The other one is prayer. Even though intellect telling you not do it, the mind says, oh, I don't care. Keep yourself, old man, shut yourself. And the mind itself is not feeling relaxed. The senses take over. And a person interprets it, what a wonderful life I have. This path of prayer. The path of prayer is pointing to the Rai, which I have explained before, that the path of matter. And path of Shreya is pointing to Brahman. The sacred rule of Prajapati is to lead you to Brahman. And who are entitled to attain Brahman? Those who are endowed with austerity, tapas. Austerity in a broad sense is discipline, that is physical discipline, disciplining your body. So this body is utilized for meritorious deeds, good deeds, righteous deeds, disciplining your speech so that your words become powerful, spiritually powerful. Your words create good karmas for you. And disciplining your mind. And the highest form of the discipline of their mind is mind involved in understanding. Who am I? What shines through me? Look at a cloud. Something shines through the cloud. Mind is like a cloud. The divine self shines through that mind. And a mind develops that questioning attitude. Who is that light? What makes me shine? Who is this? The substance within me. And this whole process is austerity in a broad sense. In the ordinary sense, your practice of japa, meditation, all these are mental austerity. Next point is brahmacharya. As I have explained previously, for most people it relates to celibacy, control of passion, sexual passion, sublimation of sex energy. But that's one pointed and restricted view. The broad implication is keeping the mind free of mala, anger, greed, hate. Only when the mind becomes nirmal that you attain enlightenment. By simple fact or a simple discipline just relating to the body, that's what people count upon practicing brahmacharya, relating to your bodily condition. But that in itself is not sufficient. And what is needed is the mind. Mind that has gone beyond the limitations that express through the body. Mind has gone beyond being a male, being a female. It has turned towards God for the source of joy. And in that process, all great qualities develop. Brahmacharya literally means that type of conduct that points to Brahman. And that can be, a householder can be practicing more brahmacharya than apparently a celibate. So it's a process that is internal, not so much external. But these are the points. If you have austerity, brahmacharya, and truthfulness, your mind must discover what is the truth. Asato ma sadgamaya. All experiences by the senses are limited. They are appearances. And there are many implications. There must be distinction between asat and sat. Therefore the prayer, asato ma sadgamaya, to give you an understanding of that. Sat can be applied to many things. Firstly, sat sangha. Good association is called sat sangha. You are coming in contact with the truth. Having sattvic desires in your mind, even the desire to become spiritually advanced, desire to be liberated, desire to help others, to serve God in others, or satkama, true desires, thoughts, if they are involved with rajas and tamas, or worrying about past, future, sustaining in your mind anger, hate, jealousy. And even the idea, how is it people don't practice yoga? Or why aren't people turning to spirituality like myself? Sometimes people are fooled by their mind. That's asat. You are not doing sat vichar. Asat vichar. Thoughts that can be directed towards discovering your essential nature. Thoughts that are not restricted by a dull-wit ego. Those thoughts are like swans. They can raise your consciousness to the heights beyond your imagination. Sat-vichar. Similarly, sat-bhavana. Your feelings most times remain asat. Smallest things create agitation in human feeling. Love experienced for the masses comes and goes and is very shaky. But if your heart were to understand that there is a source of boundless love in God within you, and it is God who is implied with the indwelling presence in all beings, so through many lives you have loved so many people. It's not the people you have loved, you have, your urge has been to love God. God is like the sun. It's easier to love the manifestations of the sun, like rainbows, shimmering ocean, radiant clouds. Easier to love that. But you must realize all this love remains relative until you love the sun. So your bhavana must turn towards God. Sat karma. Your actions should be for purifying your heart, not for creating something in the world of time and space. That will happen automatically. But your priority behind every karma you do, that this is my duty and it is an offering to God. And what do we expect from it? My heart is relaxed and God smiles there. That's all I want. Therefore, Shankaracharya's words, satsangatve nihasangatvam. If you constantly allow yourself to be soaked in satsanga, sat in different variations, thoughts, feelings, actions, of course, satsanga in general is most practical, coming together to listen to the profound teachings of the scriptures and helping each other. When people come together, they help each other. Because everyone looks at others and they see the world serious. It inspires people. So, satsangatve nihasangatvam. Are you practicing satsanga? The answer is given, it should give you nihasangatvam. You should feel that you are dependent on people, on objects. You should feel you are detached. You are like the sky, not depending on the clouds. Nihasangatve nirmohatvam. What happens if you have that detached awareness? Your intellect will not be blurred. You will not see things with a blurry vision. Things will be seen by you. That means things will be handled by you in the light of reason, not in the light of shallow sentiments. Moha. Moha is delusion. Moha looks like love, but it has a negative implication. I gave a parable before, and I can repeat it. A swan used to cross over the ocean and lakes. At one place, swan came close to the shore, and there were big turtles. The turtles and swan developed the idea, let me converse with these turtles. In brief, swan became friends with the turtles, and the turtles and the swan began to depend on each other. And one day the turtle said to the swan, we are such friends. How is it you always have to go away? And the swan said, my wings itch for flight. I would have liked to be with you. Are you sure you like to be with us? That's sure. Well then, simple method. We are going to pick your feathers and wings. In that state of mind, the swan was engrossed in moha, allowed the feathers to be taken away, sufficient that the swan can't fly anymore. Now, when it happened and swan cannot fly, a day or two passed and the swan and others felt wonderful there. Now, they love each other and they can never be separated from each other. But suddenly a hyena or a fox passed by and turtles started running away. And swan said, what should I do? Turtles said, we don't know. So you can imagine what happened. So this form of love, which seems so easy to appreciate for the mass, from mass point of view, is called moha. It is not love. In human love, there is always certain element of moha. But as long as the direction is towards greater love and purer love, it's perfectly okay. But when moha aspect dominates the love, then you have gone into big problem. So satsangatve nihasangatvam, nihasangatve nirmohatvam. Moha will not be there. Nirmohatve nishchalatvam. You are always studied by your own mind constantly, and that's what makes you restless. But if your mind had enlightenment, and the awareness, the self in you is eternal, an enlightened mind has no problem. It constantly views the self, which is Purnam. Nothing else exists. Once the enlightened mind has viewed that, nishchala tattvam, the entire world will come and go. It doesn't make any difference. All the clouds can gather and they may disperse. Doesn't make any difference to this. Prasannatam yanagatabhishekata. Same brought out in Tulsi Ramayana. Say Rama is Prasan. He was given, announced the coronation and he remained same, serene, not showing elation. And only in a short while after, banished into the forest. And he didn't show any difference. That is the ideal to be reached. You must realize ideal is always very high. And you can't make it lesser to suit your need. Tesham asau virajo brahma loko na yeshu jihvaman nritam na maya cheti. He in whom there is no falsehood, deceit or crookedness attains that brahma loka. Here brahma loka refers to brahman, which is viraja. Raja is taint. Viraja is taintless. Raja refers to dust. Viraja refers to dustless. Raja refers to mala. All the impurities, anger, greed, etc., they exist in subtle form, subtle impressions in the unconscious. And if you are following the path of light, the path leading to enlightenment, your goal is to render the mind taintless. And all the sadhana and all the methods of spiritual practice are directed towards that goal. As long as there is mala, even though intellectually you may know more and more, there will not be spiritual progress. It will be theoretical knowledge. Kabira man niramal bhayo, jaise ganga nir, paache lage hari firay, kabir kabir. Remember that. Kabir Das says that mind became taintless. Man nirmal bharo, jaise ganga nir, like the Ganges water. The moment it happened, God is running after me. You must realize before he was running away. If mind has impurities, then as if God runs away from you. Go to a temple. He was there, but the moment he sees you there, he runs away. And you find yourself in the temple with the same mind, with the same illusions. In the temple, you are looking at others, hating them, or not hating them, or entering into a gossip group, and so forth. So God has run away. On the other hand, if your mind becomes pure, which is your goal, God runs after you. You are not aware. Is God with me? Am I enlightened? You are not aware of that. Shines. Your mind becomes transparent. You need to understand how does God run away and how can he be trapped? A lake becomes muddy. The sun has run away from it. Remove the mud. The lake doesn't have to invite the sun. The sun is already there. The moment it is quiet, the moment it is clear,